the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Exploring the Word. I'm Jim Stanley, and it's my privilege to be in studio this afternoon with Brother Bert Harper. I'm sitting in for Dr. Alex McFarland today. And Bert, I suppose you'll sit in for yourself.
I'll sit in for myself. It's been a while. You know, I've been on the road
That's quite right. A bit.
And
By the way, folks, that voice you hear is Bert Harper, in case you have forgotten.
It is distinctive. I tell folks it's not distinguished, but it is distinctive. And whether I'm in New Jersey or South Texas, where I've been in this month, it's amazing how the recognizable that voice is. And I said, well, God gave it to me, so I'm using it. Amen.
Well, we're all supposed to use our gifts, and a booming voice is a good gift to have, especially when you're called to preach. So that works out pretty well.
It has worked out good. But, Jim, it's always good to be with you.
Amen.
I mean that.
Thank you.
It's such fun to be able to do what God's called you to do with partners who you enjoy being around.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that on this Thanksgiving week.
Right.
I think that may be need to be said. What an opportunity God has given us
right.
to have Exploring the Word here in the middle of the afternoon, drive time for a lot of people.
Right.
And it's just an opportunity for us to make much of Jesus. And that Amen. If we don't do anything else,
we need to do
we
that.
We need to do that,
absolutely.
Jim. And we desire to do that.
Right. Well, today we're going to look at some scripture that's going to dwell on Thanksgiving. And not just the American, I want to make sure I'm clear about this. In America, we have the Thanksgiving holiday. And we do want to give thanks because God provides for us continually. We couldn't do what we do without the provisions of God. We couldn't do what we do without the folks that come alongside of us during our share-a-thons and then at other times throughout the year to help with some of the other ministries, thinking specifically of having just wrapped up Collection Week with Operation Christmas Child and now looking forward to The Greatest Journey, which is the Sunday school-type material, if you will, and that's going to be coming up before too long. And so while we do what we do for AFA and for AFR, God has given us an amazing platform to help brothers and sisters throughout Amen. The country and around the world through this platform that he entrusted to Don Wildman close to 30 years ago. Now, we know AFA has been around that long, but the radio network itself is coming up on about 30 years. So, Bert, when you talk about Thanksgiving, you're absolutely correct. Now, in the church, there is a discussion going on about the Old Testament being relevant to the New Testament and to Christians today. I'm not looking to start a great debate today, but Jesus told us that he came to fulfill the law, not do away with the law. That Jesus, when we look at Jesus, one of the things we've always talked about is the Old Testament looks toward, the New Testament tells of. And then, of course, when we think of Revelation and some of the other things there, then we know that some of that looks back at the life of Christ and the things that are yet to come. And so today we're in the 107th Psalm. So that's Psalm 107. It's a psalm of thanksgiving. The children of Israel have just finished some wandering, and so they have been brought and delivered. And that's what this is. In fact, if you look back, there in 106, Psalm 106, verse 47, says, "Save us, O Lord, our God, and gather us from among the Gentiles to give thanks to your holy name, to give thanks to your holy name and to triumph in your praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting, and let all the people say amen."
Amen.
And looking at verse 48, it says it's applicable from when to when?
From everlasting to everlasting.
And I went back and I grabbed that phrase because that's the phrase we were going to key on today in 107. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
Amen. All the time. Let me make one statement about the Old Testament, New Testament. I just got to put my thoughts
into it. Well, I wish you would, because that's why I was asking the question.
Like the book of Jude or the book of Hebrews, mm-hmm. without a knowledge and the use of and the applicability of the Old Testament, those books would be hanging and saying, what in the world are you talking about? And they're just filled with Old Testament. Jude's a one chapter book,
right.
but it is packed with Old Testament references. And if you don't dig into them, and I agree, you combine them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you just stayed in the Old Testament without bringing the New Testament applicability to it, but if you stayed in the New Testament without the history of mm-hmm. the Old Testament, it would lack something. So when you apply them and put them together, it fills it up, not
right.
only with the meaning of mercy and redemption, but also the history, because Paul said these are for our examples. And so preach the word.
Amen.
And it is from everlasting. This is the Bible Jesus had was the Old Testament.
Was the Old Testament.
And that's,
sure was.
Now,
and that's what he studied growing up.
You bet. And when he was being tempted, he quoted from Deuteronomy again and again mm-hmm. and again. And so 107, when we get into it on the week of Thanksgiving, I think everybody say, hey, that's good. That's good.
That's applicable. So, well, folks, as we get started, we're going to take and we're just going to read through 107 as we do. And by the way, we, in all honesty, we're not really here. So
I didn't know if you was going to let them in on this.
I will. And so, well, because this would be one of those times that folks would want to call in, and we're not going to give out the phone number. And so, by the way, this may be heard a couple of times over the Thanksgiving weekend as well. And so it is one of it's still great to dive into God's Word, because we get alone in the studio. We have someone who's producing the program for us. And so you and I get to
discuss
the
scripture. That's what makes exploring the Word unique, is the discussion between two individuals. Every once in a while, it'll mm-hmm. be a third one, but most of the time, it's two individuals. Most
right.
time, it's Alex and myself, but then you come in and pinch hit, and then others come in. But let's look at 107, and I want to give the outline of it real
Please.
Quickly. All you have. Those of you that listen to Exploring the Word all the time know Bert Harper is looking for repeated phrases.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like something in me has to find that. If I find a repeated word or repeated phrase over a section of Scripture, it's like saying, okay, you need to take a close look at this. And I found that in 107.
Right.
I want to read it. In verse 1, it says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
Amen.
Then, verse 8, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. Not exactly, but again, the same thought. Verse 15, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. Verse 21, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. And then in verse 31, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. Now, this is not a record. You remember those old long playing records that
mm-hmm.
would get called and they would repeat and repeat?
Right.
Now, I wasn't just doing that. I was reading Scripture. But five different times, the writer of this psalm calls that. It's like similar to a hymn.
Right.
You know, when you
right.
sing the stanza and then you go back to the chorus. And so this is kind of the chorus. And it brings each time something to be thankful for, but it's always from his goodness to
right.
us.
Right.
And many times in this psalm, it's pointed out man's very harshness and difficulties of not living up to what God would desire for us to be.
Right. And, you know, when you think about the direct application of that to the New Testament, we understand that it's because of God's grace and sending Christ to die for us and stand in our place that we have a whole new batch of things to give thanks for. We have the very Son of God to give thanks for, and yet we treat it most of the time in a casual way. And I think that just as the children of Israel here are showing some of their silliness, if you will, so have we done that throughout our lives.
And guilty as charged.
No, yeah. That's right.
Guilty and, as charged.
And so, you know, when you started out there, I think the writer set it up when he said, the outright acknowledgement, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Without that statement, we can't reflect that much on his goodness unless we establish the fact that he is good.
His character comes before his blessings.
Right.
And he blesses us from his character.
Mm-hmm.
And his I remember Dr. Adrian Rogers would always talk about our character as believers. God's more interested in our character than he is our comfort.
Right.
And so as he develops his character in us, that's the whole idea of developing his character. He is good. Now, Jesus would say, there's none good, no, not one, only God.
Only God.
So only what God is in us and does through us, mm-hmm. through the Comforter who he sent to live in us and abide with us forever, that comes out, and it's the very character of God. And so this psalm develops that very idea.
It does, and I think it's important for us that we realize what the character of God is, and that we, you know, when we talk about this show pointing to Christ, that's how we do that. It's not your character. It's not my character. You know, you know me, and you know that I just say what's on my mind, and
the filter is not too thick on Jim
right.
Stanley. The filter is kind of thin.
Well,
and that's, hey, brother, I love it.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about where I stand with Jim Stanley.
And so in looking at this, when we talk about that character, I always think about the verse where Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. And I'm thinking, I'm not there. I tell folks, don't follow me. Yeah, and back in ministry in times, you know, a lot of times the youth pastor or the worship leader or the pastor, they get put up on this pedestal, and they don't know how to get off of it.
You crawl off of it before you get knocked off.
Absolutely.
You will get knocked off if you think you're going to dwell there.
Right.
You don't dwell on a pedestal.
No, sir. You can't, and you shouldn't.
No.
Because that pedestal is reserved for one thing.
Amen.
And that's just like it, when you think back to the tabernacle and where the glory of the Lord, you know, would reside, and you think of the inner court there and the different things that took place, we treat God, as I said earlier, a lot of time with casualness. Well, his character is goodness. His character is holy. His character is from everlasting to everlasting.
You know, I just thought of something while you were talking that I've never thought of before. I always say God's two great attributes are his holiness mm-hmm. and his love.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's got many attributes. And when you see that, because the Bible says God is holy and God
right.
is love.
Right.
That's what the Bible says. Guess where because of his holiness and his love, he is good. Because
mm-hmm.
he's the only one that can combine those in truth
right.
all the way.
Right.
The rest of us, we struggle. We struggle with either, you know, this goodness and this mercy and this truth. It's kind of like a battle in our lives, Jim.
Right.
But with God, him being good, he has both of those, and it's good for him, good for us.
Amen. Well, folks, I promise you, we are actually going to get past verse 1. Although, you know, when Bert and I get together, sometimes we're never sure. But we believe we're going to get past verse 1 as Exploring the Word continues here on American Family Radio.
We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she'll choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
This is Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Everybody here looking for a Bible in our own hearts and across the man. Anybody looking for a revival, lift up your voice and say amen.
Hi, I want those words to be played out. I don't interrupt those songs because we're in need of revival across
Absolutely.
Our land. This is Bert Harper along with Jim Stanley, and this is Exploring the Word. And we're in Psalm 107, and we got to the first part of verse 1 in the first segment and did not get much past that. But I want to read it, and if we don't do anything else, reading this will be a blessing. Just let me read a few of these verses, Jim. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate place. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. And what did he do? He delivered them out of their distresses and led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city for habitation. Now, again, we know he's talking about the children of Israel, but when I look at my journey and when I apply this to my life, Jim, it is applicable.
Mm-hmm.
His mercy, praise God for his mercy. Have you ever heard the difference in grace and mercy? Mercy is not getting what you deserve, and grace is getting what you don't deserve.
Right.
And grace and mercy are poured out here.
Amen.
And notice the word redeemed. There's an old song and some old hymns. We don't ever need to lay them aside. I don't
That's
care
right.
how good. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
That is the whole idea. We were on the auction block the way Gomer, Hosea's wife, was in the Old Testament,
mm-hmm.
again referring to the Old Testament, and he purchased her.
Amen.
And he is saying, you're twice mine. And he has redeemed us from the auction block of sin by
right.
the payment of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We have been redeemed if you've trusted Christ. Praise the Lord for that redemption.
And as you think about that, it draws the picture of gathering them together. And we know that for the wedding feast of the Lamb, when Christ returns, what's going to happen? He's going to gather them all together.
East, west, east, north,
east,
and south.
East, west, north, and south. And so that is a picture here of what God has done. And when we look forward to what God's going to do, and the difference in that is here they're seeing the mercy and grace of the Lord firsthand. We've looked back at the cross to find our picture of mercy and grace. But then when he gathers us in that time, and that time's coming, there's a lot of discussion over when that time's going to be. But that the fact of the matter is that time is coming, and he's going to do just like he did for his children of Israel, he's going to do for the children of his own, because Jesus did buy us with his blood. We are not our own anymore. And not only that, I love the way you said that, you know, Gomer was twice purchased. We will have been twice purchased.
You bet.
Because it talks about that we have been adopted into his family. We're not God's grandchildren. We're God's children. Jesus has paid the price for us to be redeemed, so that we can become the children of God. God paid the price, and with his mercy and with his grace, gathered who he called his children during this time in the book of Psalms, where he gathered them together. And I like this too. He delivered them out of their distress. He led them forth by which way?
The
right way. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. And so then it says that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. What's Jesus doing right now, Bert?
He's preparing a place for us, and he's going to come again and receive us unto himself, that where he is.
How does this not preach the gospel of Christ?
It does. And Jim, what this says, I love the word delivered.
Mm-hmm.
We don't hear a lot about that because I've observed people overemphasizing deliverance of an individual.
Right.
But the deliverance ministry of Jesus Christ is real.
Amen.
He delivers us from sin. He can deliver us from ancestral sin. The sins of the fathers do not have to be passed down to
right.
the third and fourth generation. You break that cycle, break that. You can be delivered from addictive sins as well. I mean, I've seen people delivered. Some are immediate and some is through a process, but the deliverance is real. God doesn't leave us there. He is doing a new work in us. The old is passing, the new is coming.
Amen.
And then he can deliver us from the attacking sin. Those that come up on us quickly, that's what it talks about in the book of Galatians. It says, if a man be overtaken in a fault.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of like, man, I was walking along and I got tripped up. He can still deliver us from those as well. He has delivered us from if you've been saved, he has delivered us from the penalty of sin. But in his power through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, he can deliver us from the power of that sin having over us.
Amen.
We're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus.
Well, I enjoy word pictures and I enjoy seeing those things in the things around us. And when you talked about being overtaken, that it's almost as if sin is pursuing us.
Yeah.
And the reason that sin pursues us is because Satan doesn't want us to have the fellowship with Christ. He's okay. And I know, folks, this is going to sound awful. He doesn't care that you're a Christian. He cares that you are living a life that others might want to see Christ in you or through you and come to Christ himself, because Satan doesn't want to be lonely in hell. And there it really is a hell. And it's because there really is a hell, that there is a place of eternal damnation. There is a reason that God wanted to restore that fellowship that he enjoyed with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And Bert, you want to talk about being overtaken by sin pursuing Adam and Eve to the fact that it came into the very Garden of Eden, this lush place. We don't know how big the Garden of Eden was. Yeah, we know that it was there. We know that God created it. We know that God set these different trees there. And he had told Adam and Eve they could eat of any tree there. And how glad should we be that they did not eat from the tree of life, but after they had eaten from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, or else we would have been forever trapped in our sin. But because of that, because of even then, God delivered them basically from the garden, because they had already showed they couldn't stand up to one temptation. So what's going to happen if Satan says, hey, man, see that tree over there? Boy, it looks better than this tree, because now you know what this tree was for. And so God even delivered them by casting them out of the Garden of Eden, and he still delivers us through the blood of his son. And so to see that, to walk that out, and to know that just like the children of Israel here, where they came and he led them to the right way
He delivers and leads.
Mm-hmm.
You can't help but think of another Old Testament psalm, Psalm 23.
Right. You know? Right.
He does lead us.
Yeah.
And he knows that we are dust and we've got to have his leadership.
Amen.
That's why Jesus said it's to your advantage over in the book of John 16. Mm-hmm. It's to your advantage that I go away. Now, how you like that word?
Right.
It's to your advantage that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come. But when he comes, he will lead you into greater truth. There it is again, lead you.
Amen.
He will lead you. If you're not being led by the Holy Spirit today and by the Word of God, you're missing out on the greatest adventure in all the world. It's his. You know what the Bible says? His mercies are new every morning.
Amen.
And so you get up as a believer, filled with the Holy Spirit, reading the Word of God, and you say, bring it. God, bring on what you have for me today. Will all the roses not have thorns? No, they'll have some thorns. Will all the roads be straight and no curves and not bumpy? No, they'll be,
there's going to be some potholes.
There's going to be some potholes. And that's what makes kind of life more interested. And,
right.
What's over the next hill? You got some valleys. And so that's the Christian life. So if anybody has told you, oh, come to Jesus and everything will be smooth, everything will be all right, you're going to have, they sold you a bill of goods.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, come and follow me. He didn't say so that everything would be great and roses. He says, follow me. Matter of fact, he told the Apostle Paul, I'm going to show him how much it's going to cost him, what he's going to pay by following me.
Amen.
And so, but it is a great adventure. And the good thing is, We have someone who leads us, and
right.
He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us.
Amen. Well, we're at verse 8 there, and we're to the phrase that Bert was pointing out. Verse 8 in the 107th Psalm, it says, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness." Notice those other verses and how they built up to that. And now look at these verses that follow that. "And for his wonderful works to the children of men, for he satisfies." God satisfies.
I highlighted that one, brother.
the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness.
Amen.
Those who sat in darkness in the shadow of death, again, looking back at Psalm 23, where you brought that out a moment ago, because they rebelled against the word of the Lord. Because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord. Then. Why did we have to get to then, Bert?
We're stubborn.
We are.
That's humanity. Stubbornness. It's like, say, well, I'm not stubborn.
Mm-hmm.
Your stubbornness has just revealed itself. It's
right.
And you're not. It's
right.
Sort of like the man who said, I'm a real humble person.
right up until that point.
Right up to that point, you know. And so here we are. They cried out to the Lord in trouble. Notice, I think that's what's lacking a little bit. I'm going to stay there for a second. Praying and crying out. God does say we're to pray without ceasing.
Mm-hmm.
But ever so often, Jim, because of the circumstances and difficulties, we cry out to the Lord. We cry out sometimes in our pain.
Mm-hmm.
We cry out in our distress.
Mm-hmm.
We cry out because of the hurt that we're going to.
Right.
And he hears us. He hears us as we confess our sin, as we come to him broken before him,
right.
A broken and a contrite heart. He will not turn away,
right.
Brother.
Amen.
He's going to respond to that. So today, and Jim and I are making this applicable to you. If you're out driving that truck and you're just determined to get home before Thanksgiving,
right.
And you're going to get there, I pray that you will. But don't miss the journey.
Right.
Don't miss the blessings of the journey, that even with the potholes that you were talking about,
mm-hmm.
The curves that I was talking about, as you go along, observe God leading you and never forsaking you.
Amen.
And being that with you always.
Absolutely. And it says, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. You know, in John, Jesus says, in this world, you will have trouble. You will have tribulation. These things are going to come. Bert, I don't know why we believe as a Christian in America that everything should come easy to us, that there is a menu that we should be able to go and place an order, pop it in the microwave, and suddenly it's done. And we should just be able to plug it into whatever hole we need to plug it into in our heart, in our life. Wisdom. The scripture says that we should have wisdom, that we need to have wisdom. So I want to run up here, and I'm going to go through the drive-through, and I'm going to get an extra order of wisdom today. I'm going to get an extra order of praise today. You know, man, you talk about going to church on Sunday morning and quote-unquote getting your praise on. Well, why don't you have your praise on every day of the week?
Preach it, Jim.
And so, amen. You know, we know these things are going to be there, but we as Americans don't think we should have any trouble, don't think that we should be distressed. And so I don't know how we got here, because I can remember a time when the Bible was studied because it was the Bible. It didn't necessarily happen in my family, but I was exposed to it in other families where we sat down at the dinner table and the children were basically grown, this family that I was living with at that time. But yet the Bible was still brought out, was still read, and was still talked about before people left the dinner table. And so that was done not, you could tell it was not a show. You could tell that
just
it was
just part
natural.
Of their life.
Just part of what they did.
You know what Adrian
Rogers
said that? He said we're to be naturally supernatural mm-hmm. and supernaturally natural.
Amen.
And that means be real. When you get down to it, knowing who God is and living that real life mm-hmm. at the Word of God. It's not a name it and claim it. It's not a health and wealth.
Right.
But because of the love of money, there are people who develop that wrong theology. Mm-hmm. Is there a certain amount of truth given, it will be given unto you? Yes, that is the truth from God's
right.
word. But what we have come to believe is what is good is a nice house, a nice job, everything nice.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at Romans 8, 28 and 29, it really explains that because it says God takes all things and he works them for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Things don't work for good, but
right.
God works the
God
things
works
for good.
Them.
And then verse 29 says, for whom he foreknew, he predestined. And
right.
listen to the next, that we would be conformed to the image of his son. That's what is good.
Right.
That is what, and it does not happen when everything is good. My three sons, your children, my grandchildren, now they did not just start walking. They had to fall.
Mm-hmm.
They had to bump. Matter of fact, just last night in our home, we had our 1 year old, 3 or 4 month old child, grandchild, and John Wyatt. And he bumped into
right.
he bumped into the desk, and
yeah.
here he has a little bump
not
on his head. That's life.
That's right.
And but he's with us, and he'll lead us. He'll not forsake us. He's going to see us through.
Absolutely, folks. We'll continue in 107th Psalm straight ahead here on Exploring the Word.
We'd like to thank Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.
Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Connect with Alex and Bert on the Exploring the Word Facebook page, facebook.com/exploringtheword. Or email word@afr.net.
Your words give us life that's never ending. Your words bring us love that never fails. Everything else will fade away, but what will remain? All your words.
Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. You want to talk about a word that's without ending? You want to talk about a word that never fails? That is the very Word of God, even as the song was saying there. And it's one of those things there. And we're in verse 13 of the 107th Psalm. And it says, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death. He broke their chains in pieces.
Hallelujah.
Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. And I am reading from the Holman Christian Standard Version, but when you look at the King James Version, you know, it basically says the same thing. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. And that's what we were focusing on.
You know, that's an introduction, but it's also a climax.
It really
is. Have you noticed
yeah.
they're just interposed right, right in there at the right time?
And as you look, and again, it's the whole thing of looking back to see if you have learned your lesson so that you can move forward to learn the next
and
lesson.
And they're put there right at the place when he's bringing them through the journey.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you want to do. You want to pause. Let's take this psalm
right.
as an illustration
right.
of life. You pause. And you look and observe. That's what Thanksgiving's about. It's a time to pause.
Mm-hmm.
And look, that's what it originated from in our country. But it's also what they did in the scriptures. They originated, and look what God has delivered. One more thing. We got to go quickly, at least to get one or two more.
Right.
But I could not help but broke their chains in pieces.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the songs today has to do with chains. My chains are gone. I've been
right.
set free.
Right.
And then the chain breaker.
Amen.
Oh, man. And those chains that bind you, and when we talk about sin, like mm-hmm. ancestral sin, And people say, I don't know what that is. Well, it's just like there's a predisposition.
Right.
If you go to the medical doctor and you'll fill out these forms, they'll say, is there any history mm-hmm. of this in your family? That's true physically. That's also some truth in that spiritually, that there's some, you know, whatever there's a predisposition for,
right.
or whatever your what you were used to, what is familiar to you
mm-hmm.
is hard to overcome. But he breaks those chains,
Amen.
Jim. You
Absolutely.
Don't have to be. You don't have to hang on to that addiction. You don't have
right.
to hang on to those sins
right.
that have binded you and your family all these years. Break the chains.
Amen.
Jesus is the chain breaker.
Well, and that's absolutely the case. He breaks those. He delivers us from those. He takes us from that position. And hopefully we grow to be ready for the next position. And you were talking about some of the predispositions. That may be a predisposition to alcohol.
Yeah.
And part of that is because as children, you know, you want to talk about what's familiar to you. Where were those things at in your childhood? And were they present there? And that's why you do some of the things you do today. So it's one of those things that it does give a predisposition. You know, I'll just be real frank. My mother abused prescription medications. So I have to be careful because there's a predisposition there. I was raised in an environment where fights between the mom and dad were often. And when I talk about fights, I'm not just talking about verbal. So there had to be a choice for me in my life that I may get angry with my wife, but I'm never ever gonna hit her.
That's those chains.
And
that's beautiful.
That's not Jim Stanley.
That's God in
that's
Jim
God
Stanley.
That's God in Jim Stanley.
Amen.
Because and it's so it's one of those things that I can say in all honesty, even back when things were tough, and as you go through marriage, you're going to find things. You want to talk about iron sharpening iron, you know, that that puts you in the thick of it. But I have never, ever done that.
Isn't that great, though, you and I mean, we're close enough
right.
that we can hold each other accountable
yes,
some
sir.
From things. And how important that is.
Yeah.
That every once in a while, I'm going to be asked the hard thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be asked these things. That's the reason John Wesley, I think it was 22 questions he developed as he was developing his, you know, cycle of preachers sending them out
right.
about different things. Chuck Swindoll had 7 questions that he and the staff that he was a part of would ask each other. You know what the last question was? Have you just lied about the other thing?
About the other one?
Yeah.
That's right.
And so this whole idea of what God is doing, it is God coming in and agreeing to work in us
right.
and on us. And when we surrender to him, we sign up for that covenant relationship
right.
that he's working on us to deliver us from the familiar of
right.
sin.
From those things.
Yes.
From those things.
He wants to deliver us.
You said one thing there, that he's working on us. He's working in us. And the reason he does that is so that he can work through us.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
We are to be those hands and feet. And as the hands and feet, we're to be servants to each other. And so, boy, you want to talk about thanking God for what he has done for us.
If your list hasn't grown after hearing what Jim and I know that God's done for us,
right.
Start looking at your own life. That list will grow. Count those blessings one by one.
Bert, pick us up at verse 16 there.
Verse 16 says, "For he has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars in iron in two." You know what this is? Shackles.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a program here on AFR.
Right.
I think it's on Sunday mornings when I hear it,
unshackled.
Now, it's still got that old theme that it's like transporting me back in
right.
time when I hear that. But unshackled, he wants to unshackle you. I'm sorry to preach on everything here. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all the manner of food. They drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. There it is. I missed that repeated phrase, Jim, and
right.
there it is again. And he saved them out of their distress. Now notice what he did. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Let's concentrate on that. He sent his word and healed them. Now, not only the word of God, but over in the book of John, and the word became
flesh
right. and dwelt among us.
Right.
and we beheld his glory. Glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He healed them. So let's real quickly, because I don't want to miss this. Look at all these words. He redeemed us. He's gathered us. He's delivered us. He satisfies us. He brings us out of darkness. He breaks the chains. He sends his words and heals them.
Right.
Jim, that list is just beyond description of all the things that a real relationship with Jesus brings into your life.
Right.
That was in the Old Testament. It's true in the New Testament as well. And then in the New Testament, and I'm jumping ahead because I don't want anybody to miss it in case we run out of time and we don't get to finish. He has sent his comforter to be with us. Mm-hmm. And over in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, it says, and you used it, it says, you talked about what he's doing in us and on us so he could work through us. 2 Corinthians 4:1 says, and we're to comfort one another
right.
with a comfort by which we've been comforted.
Amen.
With.
That's right.
You know, if he was just interested in us being in heaven with him, we'd have gotten saved and zap, we'd have been in heaven. He leaves us here mm-hmm. that we might join him in this work of redemption.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome? That we have, God invites us after we're saved to join him in this work of redemption. And that's what you were talking
Amen.
about that others might see Christ
right.
in us.
Well, and as you've said, the spoken word. Folks, you got to remember, James said there's power of life and death in the tongue. And there is, because the spoken word means something. And so when it says he sent his word, I was thinking of the story of the centurion. You know, and so in Matthew 8, it says this, and Jesus said, you know, he'd come and been approached, and the centurion said, Lord, would you, my servant is at home, not even his child, but his servant. You know, so the centurion had a heart for the people that helped him and his household. And so the Lord said, okay, I'll come and heal him. And this is the Jim Stanley paraphrased edition. But the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come to my house under my roof. But only speak a word. The centurion recognized the authority of Jesus
Amen, Jim.
And who he was and what that spoken word
And he didn't
would
even
do.
Have to be present, right?
Didn't
that
have to be present.
That was the distance between him and that servant.
That's right. And he said, so, you know, and he goes on to say that, I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, to another, come, and he comes, and do this, and he does it. And Jesus heard it. He marveled. He marveled because the man had that much confidence. So when we look back here in the 107th Psalm, and it talked about that by his word, he sent his word. He brought, you know, he took and he, excuse me a moment, I'm sorry. There in verse 20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. All right, think about this. The disciples are in a boat. Jesus is in the boat asleep. And the disciples are worried that they are going to be what? Destroyed because of this storm in this ship. And so, again, there is all kinds of word pictures and references that we see again and again in the New Testament that come just from even this psalm. And so I think it's important that we do that.
Amen.
And that we focus on that.
We'll come to verse 21, and guess what
right.
he does again, Jim?
He says, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing.
Sacrifice of thanksgiving. That
sacrifice.
That seems like a oxymoron.
Well,
sacrifice of let me see.
I started to make light of this, and I don't really mean to, but when I think of the offerings and the burnt offerings and stuff, there have been a couple of times that I've had burnt offerings at Thanksgiving. And so
you've just heard the real Jim Stanley. But listen, sometimes Thanksgiving
right.
for what we're going through and
right.
thanking him during that time is a sacrifice of
it
praise.
Is. Absolutely. And what I was going to go on to draw from that we live in a time that we no longer have to give sacrifices because the sacrifice of Christ was made. And so what we are to do is to do what Paul tells us in Romans 12. I beg you, literally the word means beg. I beg you, brothers, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice. And how much more does that tie in here? Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Those who go down to the ships, sea and ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep.
Amen.
For he commands and raises the stormy winds, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. They are at their wit's end. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distress. He calms the storm. The waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet. So he guides them to their desired haven.
Amen.
Oh, that, and so, you know, this past week, we had the opportunity to be in Buffalo, and we were right there on one of the Great Lakes, and there was a seawall that basically, it'd be a lake wall, but you understand, there was this place that took the brunt of the waves so that it would not wash away the shoreline. And so they have these out, not too far from the edge, if you will, but out there. And there were days that even on the lake, you could see these huge waves coming and crashing against that wall and breaking and coming over the top. And to see how the Lord would do that. And then there was a day when it was just completely calm, as still could be.
Sounds like life.
It does. And you just see that in something a country boy had never seen before. You know, basically, I'd never been to that part of the country. But to see that and understand how the hand of the Lord can take and cause those waves to raise up and then cause those waves to be still. And God is awesome.
And God took them to that place
right,
so they could see it. So what God does in our lives, he takes us to the storms
mm-hmm.
so that we see him in who he is. Do you remember, again, you've already referred to them being out on the sea, and Jesus calms the sea,
mm-hmm.
and they said, who is this that even the waves obey him?
Right.
There's places that there's things that you would not know about Jesus Christ apart from the storms of life.
Amen.
And they are, I'm going to say it, they are worth it.
Yeah.
To know him
yeah.
in that way.
Absolutely. And so he guides them to the desired haven. It talks about that, you know, previously in the psalm, that he led them in the right way. So if he's able to take and lead us in that way, and he's able to take us to our desired haven, where should we as Christians, what is our desired haven? What's our desired port of call, if you will, when we look forward in this journey? Well, obviously, it's to ultimately be with Christ.
Amen.
And to stand before him and hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter in.
To the joy.
Come on in to, you know, to what I have for you.
And then verse 31, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works of the children of men. Let them exalt him. Let them exalt him in the congregation in the temple. Let all the people do that. I've got to look at verse 43. Whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord.
Amen.
On this Thanksgiving, come to Christ as Lord and Savior. Don't let another day go by without accepting him as Savior and Lord. He will guide you, and he will deliver you. That's his power, and he did it at the cross. That's what Jesus has done for you. Jim,
Amen.
Thank you for being with us today on Exploring the Word.
My pleasure.
Hope you have a great Thanksgiving, and God bless you and use you in his kingdom work. Tell someone about Exploring the Word, but more importantly, tell them about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.